are recording. Hi, what's up?
What it do, my people?
How are you doing today?
I don't know about you, but I'm doing fantastico, maravilloso, fantastico, risco de maravilla.
You're not alcanza. Stop it. No. Maravilla. Bad.
It's funny as fuck to me how he speaks, like his whole little, like the way he nicknamed himself La Maravilla.
I miss his old songs.
And the way he says it, Alcangepa.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm a big Alcange fan, but I'm also like, I love the clown Alcange. It's crazy. Yo. So my people. Yo, if you're an Alcange fan out there, I'm sorry. I'm a fan too, but his little mannerisms are funny as shit to me.
He's made fun of while I was growing up a lot because he's like really short. So like call him the baby or whatever.
Parece un bebé, el cabrón, pero un nene parece, el pobre.
No puedo, no.
Está en cabrón.
Perfect. Hello, everyone.
Oh, welcome. Shit. Carla's late today.
I'm in a good mood because the sun's
out. So do we have Carla G or do we have Carla B?
Cardi B, I'm ready for a, what's it called? A collab?
Oh, shit. Cardi B. Carla from Puerto Rico. Cardi from the Bronx. Ah! All right, hold up. I feel like we got off track.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to What the Fuck Latin X.
Yes,
the podcast where we talk about our really weird childhoods.
Weird shit.
And what is the Latin culture? What does it mean to grow up being Latino?
Qué bonita bandera.
Why do we follow so many weird traditions, or why do we act certain ways? Why? Why do we get hit by chancletas a lot?
Bro, esa vaina duele, bro.
I never got hit by chancleta, fun fact.
What? Yo, my mom got a mean, she used to play softball, so she got a mean underhanded toss. And she got a mean overhead toss, too. So you
my
already
mom
know.
My used to play baseball, like, in the streets, you know, like, she was a neighborhood kid.
Ah, papi, así que me gusta.
She'd be like, I'm gonna go play ball, and then my grandma would be like, girls don't play that, and she just, like, she
and
was
and your mom was like, well, I'm sorry, but this girl does, and then she, bah.
Mm-hmm.
You get that's a fact. I like that. But, yeah, so my mom had that mean chancleta toss. So if she couldn't catch you, like, up close with the close range, it was a wrap. Because if you ran, it was going to be like a perate.
You couldn't win either way.
Exactly. You lost. And then she's short, so you already know. She's short and feisty. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Sorry, guys. I'm having flashbacks right now to them chancletazos.
Absolutely. Yes, y'all. I'm going to pause it. But yeah, I totally forgot what we were saying. Chancletas? Yeah, this is also the podcast where we talk a lot about Latin history and the impact it's had. Oh, my microphone's far away from me.
Oh, my God.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
The microphone.
I know. It was here. It was just a little bit far away from me.
All right. Hey, guys, FYI, if you guys don't know, me and Carla are currently recording this podcast remotely.
Yes. So we were used to recording together. We would meet.
Bro, I miss you, bro.
I know. It's weird to record through the camera. It's just like... I can see all the stuff you're doing and getting distracted, and it's pissing me off. But that's me.
Who says I'm distracted, though?
I do. And you know I'm always right, so like, las boricuas siempre tienen la razón. Don't even fight me on this.
Oh my God, guys.
Don't even fight me on this.
Guys, this is a fact.
But yeah. Yes. So, do we what have do any new news? So I do have one. We have recently updated our social media platforms, and so it's something that I know we used to mention a lot, but we've been doing this podcast for how long now?
Woo! Yo, about a year? Not a year, almost close.
Like 10, 11 months, actually.
Yeah, and, about a year. Yeah. Anniversary's kind of coming
like
up.
Like 9? I think we've been doing this podcast for 9 months, so anniversary is coming in the summer.
It's been on and off.
When Joshua and I started, it was kind of weird. We weren't really completely sure of what our brand was or what colors we wanted to use. So I created the red and blue logo out of like, let's just get something out there, which don't be like us. but we've been taking our time, and it took us this. Every podcast is different. Every whatever. It took us all this time to finally get on the same page of what colors we wanted, what fonts, what social media type of posts, like all this kind of stuff. So I feel like even though we've been recorded for 10 months, we're like finally gonna get the ball rolling. So
we definitely have
we have some new colors on our social media page and like some new posts coming up. Which I'm excited that we've been scheduling. And so please go look at our Instagram at WTF Latinx, like an X, the eggies.
Eggie, Bobby.
Latin eggies. And also follow us at Twitter for WTF Latinx as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
For some new content. So I'm excited about that.
Definitely stay, keep your eyes glued to our What the Fuck Latinx Instagram stories.
Yes, yeah.
I know I'm going to be posting more updates on there, so keep your eyes.
We're just creating more content in general. I don't know if it's the quarantine or whatever, but I feel like.
I do feel like it's a quarantine because we have way more time now to, like, you know, just kind of cook.
I forgot where we left off again. I cannot hear you. Because you are mute. Mute. There we go. So, yeah, we're recording from Zoom. We apologize for any weird inconveniences, but it should be better than last week's episode.
It will 100% be better than last week's episode. Last week's episode was definitely like, we're just adjusting, trying to get shit. Like,
it was a challenge.
I'm not gonna lie, it's a little frustrating. I don't know about you, but for me, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was moments where I couldn't hear you. Like things were just kind of cutting out. But then when I listened to the playback audio, it's like, oh, you can hear it clearly, but it was just internet connection and it's weird.
Also, we tried to record from 3 different platforms.
Oh, that's not even. Sheesh.
And so last week's episode is like in sections, which, yo, editing that episode was the frustrating part. Like, oh my God.
Recording that episode felt like hell. So I can't imagine how.
Editing, nothing made sense during editing. So I had to like cut off everything. But we're here, we're back. We're sending good vibes to everyone at home. We hope that you're safe, that you're healthy.
Yes, everybody.
That you're picking up on hobbies that you wanted to do previously and never had the time for.
That is a fact. Yo, this is the perfect time for you to just take advantage and like, yo, shit, I want to start a podcast. Start it. Yeah, I want to paint more. Like, just do it.
Honestly, because you have nothing better to do.
What else are you going to do? Like, sit down and watch the news and like watch depressing ass, like,
Even people who watch Netflix all the time are like, okay, I've watched all the shows on Netflix. I don't know what to watch anymore.
Pick up a hobby. Like, yo, I've started sewing more. Fun fact, I know how to use a sewing machine. And I've gotten real good at sewing, like, over this little quarantine.
You're such a strange human.
Yo, I love to sew. I love to paint. I know how to edit video. I know a little bit of everything. I feel like I'm a strong believer in, like, the more you know, the more power you have.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I make it a point to teach myself how to do stuff. Like, yo, I know how to change the brakes on a car, change the oil. Mm-hmm. I know how to, like, you know, basic essentials. Like, yo, if my pants rip, I come back home, I don't have to waste money. I can just patch them up because I know how to sew and use a sewing machine.
I also apologize for the noises of me eating, but We're going back to the basics. I'm going back to eating on our episodes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Currently, I have scrambled eggs with ham and cheese. Mm.
Carla got the good Hispanic meal.
Honestly, so good.
I just wanted to share some. Yo, I wanted to tell you because I haven't been able to tell you. I'll just tell you on the podcast.
What's up?
So over the last week that I've been trading, I've made over $90 in profit.
I'm gonna look over here. Y'all, if you're interested in trading, I'm not. What's the Instagram?
Oh, p.dsgn.co, and just hit me up and I can explain to you guys what I trade. Like I'm literally just trading currency.
But you sound like you're doing a drug deal.
Nah, because
contact me and I'll, you know.
Nah, I'm trying to make it really clear. Like, yo, hit me up. Like, you feel me? Let me know. I don't know. I've done really good at it. I've been pretty successful.
You don't do stocks, right? You do like
I do currency. So. Yeah. It's
crazy. I've always thought about it, but honestly, like, no, it's just not my thing.
It's easy money.
It is. And it's a good time to do it because the economy is all over the place.
Just fun fact. I just wanted to, you know, throw that in there.
I like that. That's cool, though. That's a positive news that you've been investing all this time in this thing and you're finally seeing the profit.
Exactly. And it's beautiful.
Cool. So I'm excited. Do you want to tell our listeners what our episode for today is? I haven't named it.
Yo, I was just thinking that. I'm like, yo, we don't even have an official name for it. Like, it's not really a random rant, but it's like it's off kilter. It's a little like conspiracy theory. Not really, though.
It is. It is. It definitely is. So I'm thinking something in the lines of what the fuck, experiment gone wrong.
Ah, Shuddy took it. I was thinking what the fuck experiments. Mine's a little basic. You gave it that little extra bougie, you know.
Really, I'm so excited for this episode because y'all, I'm gonna get so fired up. This is something that I feel like I remember vaguely. Some teacher at some point told me something about this, and this wasn't here. This was in Puerto Rico. I don't know if it was even my mom's talking about it. Bad Bunny, call him. He wants to be like
Benito,
or something.
But
I'm really excited for this episode. So a week ago, my mom approaches me with that WhatsApp. So let's talk about that. Hispanic moms and fucking WhatsApp. Just because it's a WhatsApp, mom, doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's on YouTube doesn't mean it's news.
No. What's that meme? Because you have doctors, conspiracy theorists, and then you have the WhatsApp chat, the WhatsApp mothers on how to deal with coronavirus.
And then mommy came 2 days ago with the Biba Poru saying, yo, they found medical solution how the mint from the Biba Poru gets rid of the virus. And then she just like sacked one bolt and she's like, put it behind your ears, inside your nose, put it in your forehead, put it in your neck. And I was like, mommy, this is unnecessary.
No, literally, the other night, my mom's like, hey, can I get your credit card? I just want to go buy some food. And I'm like, oh, bet. See no more. Yo, here, buy me some stuff, too. Yo, mommy came back with a whole vaporizer, Vicks vapor rub, three things of Vicks, and I can fall. And she's just been, like, trying to cleanse the air in the house for the last week. And, bro, I've lost weight. I've lost probably like 5 pounds due to the diet that I'm on now. It's like every morning I wake up to hot water and tea. All the food that we eat now is like immune system boosting stuff. So it's like, yo, I can't come in. They get berries. You got
to
eat this. Oh,
yeah, to improve the system and the virus and stuff. Yeah, that's true.
So, yo, Dominican, not even Dominicans, but Latin moms just be on their
head. So this is where the idea for this episode came. So mommy comes with the WhatsApp video. I don't know who sent her that video either. It's just like someone. And it's about this scientist from Colombia who's explaining that she used to work for like a department here in the United States where there's certain companies. There's certain pharmaceutical companies or something like that that had been experimenting with viruses and medications and who had in the past year done like a false false scenario type of thing. Mm-hmm. And long story short, she was basically saying that that corona was like an experiment by the U.S. to reduce the population.
Population control experiment, okay.
Yeah, a population control experiment that basically it was supposed to be used for the enemy or something, and then it got out of hand, and now companies are like cleaning their hands and like, no, we didn't do that. Because it does, the reactions of the corona is not the same as the ones that we did from a false treatment or whatever. So they're cleaning their hands, but she's basically saying the U.S. is trying to kill us. And that was this whole thing. And so mommy was showing me, she's like, Carla, you can go out. We're all going to die. And I'm like,
no, bendito.
I know. I'm like, bueno.
Carla's like, shit, I need my Dunkin's. No, not even. I need my Starbucks.
Dunkin's. I miss coffee outside in general.
I miss Taco Bell. I drive by a Taco Bell every day after work because, you know, I still go to work during the coronavirus.
Of course you do. Of course.
And every fucking night, bro, the lights are on. There's people in the drive-thru. And I be getting so tempted to, like, tell my sister, yo, pull over. You know, let's get some Taco Bell.
Just pull over.
But, yo, but then my inner coronavirus conspiracy theorist is like, nah, B. That's how I'm gonna catch coronavirus is eating something that I like, fucking Mexican food, anything, and any sort of like outdoor, you know, tú sabes, drive through shit.
La comida es mala, lo que se supone que uno no coma. I feel that.
You feel me? Because that's gonna be the day. Because fuck, where did I catch that shit?
Taco Bell. I'm dead. But yeah, so she was talking about the supposed experiment or whatever, and I'm like, why does this sound so familiar? The U.S. making experiments on their people and then taking it back. So then we started researching, and I started Googling, like, I was like, why does this sound so familiar? And I remember a case, which I think is the case that you're doing, right?
The syphilis.
Yep, so I remember the case, which is Joshua's case, so I'm not gonna go too deep into it, but I was like, this sounds a little too familiar, like that case from, like, I don't remember if it was the 50s or something like that.
Not even before that. I think early 1940s.
Okay. I was like, why do, like, those things sound so familiar? And then they cleaned their hands. And then I kept digging, and I found multiple cases of like failed experiments in Puerto Rico where like they had like health side effects and then they cleaned their hands. So
it's overwhelming how many, like, when you really start to look and do the research,
there's a lot, and they're all on minority groups of color, all of them. They basically do experiments and then for study of like reactions, and later they're like, nah, but like it's fine. Like they're fine. And we can see generations after why our communities are sicker than other communities.
It's bugged out. Yeah, no. The long-term effects of these, like, experiments.
Absolutely.
Are, like, you can see them when you read. If you're into the numbers and stats, like, you can see this shit in the numbers.
Absolutely. So.
I had a thing. Have you heard of the island that they have?
Which one?
So when I was doing my research, this is like off topic, but apparently, no, it's not an island. The U.S. has like a I believe it's like a base or a facility in Africa.
Oh, I did not know that.
Where they use monkeys and different animals as test subjects for new drugs.
That's so sad.
They just fucking experiment and go crazy on these fucking animals and all sorts of shit. And it's obviously in a remote place in Africa in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Of course. So people don't question it. Yeah.
Yeah, nah, of course. And motherfuckers don't even know that shit. But that was one that I stumbled across that, and I was like, I don't know how much validity there is to that type of shit. But it was like, yo, I can see it.
Yeah. So I feel like we both went into this dark hole of,
bro, dark hole is,
why don't we know about this? Why doesn't our people, our community, our professionals talk more about the fact that this is something that has happened in the past and that may be the root of this whole Corona thing? I don't know. Like, I feel, I didn't learn this in school. I didn't learn this in college. I don't even go, like, I know some of my peers go to, like, biology and they're trying to do pre-med and whatever, and like, they don't get that kind of information. So are we just gonna ignore the fact that thousands of hundreds and thousands of people have been affected? And just I don't know, it pisses me off. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy how quick we are to just kind of like turn a blind eye to things like that.
And not us, like, of course. I feel like we don't know because I didn't know. And then the people that do know always pretend to be innocent, which is the part that pisses me off. It's like, if you're going to do something, you got to be responsible for it financially, physically, like.
You know what? What also up. It's like, we have a history of people like outing the, I'm not anti-government, but you have ex-presidents like JFK talking about things like this, like how there are certain sectors of the government that want to suppress people from knowing things within the media. Absolutely. And want to suppress people from doing other things and this and that and experiments. And even when you do have people speak out, motherfuckers still either turn a cheek or that individual is exiled and gone. And
absolutely. And no one questions it because you can't question the power, a higher power. But I feel like we're doing our part by educating and letting you know about this. I think these are important things that we should know more about. And something that you mentioned also reminded me. A few years ago, literally like 2 years ago or something like that, I ended up going to New York to this museum called El Museo del Barrio. Ooh. Which, if you live in New York, you should totally go. It's one of the best, most enlightening tour that I've ever had in my life about like the Latin community and the Puerto Rican community, to be honest. And so
what part of New York?
I don't remember, which is not a good thing.
No.
I can't remember, but y'all do your Googles. El Museo del Barrio. And so they talked about like the graffitis and the kind of like how the Puerto Rican community grew in the struggles that kind of faced with the government and being unwanted in certain areas. And so there's two things that I thought that were so interesting. One of them, and I wish I remembered their name, so I have to go back to the museum and like reference them better or give them credit.
I'm curious. I want to like,
I know, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I was so mind blown because, number one, Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico criticize New Yorkers or like Puerto Ricans from here because everyone here wears the flag. That's like a weird one of those cultural things. It's like, they're so lame for wearing the flag. Like, they're such fake. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, are you not supposed to wear the flag? Are you not supposed to, like, you know, have some pride in where you're from?
Yes, but there's a reason why it's done here. And it was a formal protest. And I, being raised in Puerto Rico, didn't know this. And I don't know why I didn't know this.
Speak about it, though. I know exactly what you're talking about, too. Like, it's crazy.
So, in the 30s and 40s, I think, I may be saying the timeline wrong, but around that time, after Puerto Ricans have been brought to the U.S. as like low-cost labor for factories and things like that when the industrialization was starting. And once they were brought here, then a lot of the people in power didn't want to send them back because they were like, okay, we got what we wanted from you, now go back to the island. And they were like, no, we have a better life here than we did in the island because obviously we were treated like shit and slaves and like all of this stuff. So they were like, no, we ain't leaving. And there was a lot of, they were like, nah, B, we're here to stay.
Over here in New York. Hey.
Yeah, especially the temperature cold and like they had more access to jobs and to feed their families back in the island. So it's just like, yeah, But anyways, and so one of the ways that the people, the white people in power were trying to get rid of Latino, like Puerto Ricans, was they made it illegal for them to wear the flag or to have a flag that wasn't the American flag out, like, and about. Public, and so, yeah. As a form, and I don't remember what the punishment was. I feel like it was something really, like, I don't remember if it was, like, death, if you were caught with wearing the flag or posting the flag somewhere. And so what the people in the community did was every single person hang the flags in businesses, in the streets, in the windows, in the doors, yeah, in the cars, everywhere. And because everybody had united to protest by the fact that having their community's flag illegal, then you can't arrest a whole community because you don't have the forces and the money to do that.
You don't have the power to. So they were.
And so I think it lasted for a few years, and then because they realized that it wasn't gonna work, then they got rid of that law. But for a few years, having your Puerto Rican flag outside was illegal, and as a form of protest, people started wearing it everywhere, and that's why New Yorkans and American Puerto Ricans are so proud to wear the flag, because it's a big fuck you to the government, which I think it's such an interesting,
that shit,
like,
that shit is real poetic, man. It's crazy.
I know, it's a big fuck you. So, like, now I wear it proud in my car, and I'm like, well, fuck you too.
You did dick. Oh, shit. Yo, sorry for swearing.
Basically.
Damn, guys.
So that's one of them. And then the second one was, there was a time where there was a lot of issues in New York when it came to the trash. And so, people didn't feel safe going to communities where Puerto Ricans were, so they weren't picking up the trash. And as a consequence, there was a lot of sick people. A lot of sicknesses were coming from having piles of trash in the streets because they weren't being picked up for days. Like,
yeah, nah, man. I think it was turning communities into cesspools. Like,
yeah, it was like so fucked up.
You have other issues too around that time, like,
yeah,
you
know, and one of the issues was also epidemic, like sicknesses. Like, I'm trying to remember, there was some sickness, I can't remember, and they were basically providing like free services for, but they free bands that like buses or vans that would test people so if they had that sickness, but those vans would not go to lower income communities where Puerto Ricans were located.
Are you talking about like the whole AIDS epidemic when it's booming in New York and like AIDS and HIV and stuff like that?
I don't remember. It might be that, but it was pretty old. Like, I'm talking like we're still in the same era of maybe we're still like in the 60s or something like that.
Okay, so it's back, way back
in the day. It's pretty back. And so there was this group of, like, I don't want to call them gang leaders, but, like, community leaders, I guess, that kidnapped a van with a doctor.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With the sole purpose of bringing it to lower-income communities so they could test people that didn't have the, financial access to actually get tested and get medical help. And so originally the doctor had been panicking because he was kidnapped with those resources, and then he stayed and tried to support politically because they were sued by the state after. And the doctor was on their side because he was like, yeah, all these people need help. And I would have, if they wouldn't have kidnapped me, there was no way I would have ever given help to people that needed it.
He was never going to be able to reach that community unless these dudes, like, you know, they would have to be done. Even though it was illegal, it was still, like, it's a righteous act. You feel me?
Yeah, so there's a lot of that in our history, with the government, at least. I feel like the more history I learn about, like Latin culture, you're always going to see a form of protest over and over abuse. And it takes years. Still to this day, like, I can't even say that people in my community get just medical help compared to other, like, being Latino versus being white. It's like, you're not, you go to the doctor, that doesn't mean the doctor's going to believe you because you're of color.
Don't even get me started with doctors.
But yeah, so knowing that, and please go to that museum because there's so much more history that was so cool. If you ever go to New York, El Museo del Barrio is where it's at.
Nueva York.
Shout out.
Museo de Rojas. You already know. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us. Yes. So going back to the basics, knowing all of that, I feel like is what inspired me to want to know more about what other shitty stuff have they done to our communities.
And not just like the Latin community, but also just minority communities.
Minority communities. Yeah. Which is a huge reason why I feel like we always like tend to support each other and help each other more, is because we're always being fucked over.
We have to, though. I feel like if we don't take care of each other, who is, you know?
Like, yeah, that's a huge, huge, huge yes.
You feel me? Like, I feel like there's been an injustice in our communities for years. From all aspects, too. From a financial aspect to
the system has been created to, like, hold us back. Like, legally, there's so many things that even though you have rights to, you don't have access to. And on purpose.
No, of course. And a lot of the gatekeepers that hold the keys to allowing and giving access are people that can't relate to us, are people that don't have our same background, don't understand our struggle and our plight, and they're going to be quick to help people that look like them before people that look like us.
Absolutely. So this is, so with that being said, everybody, if you can vote, please vote. I want to see more people like us in, like, political chairs and, like, powerful making decisions.
I definitely want to see more of the, you know, the Black and Latino youth.
Absolutely.
Like, kind of, you know, let's start getting more involved in things. You know,
yeah, and level, I feel like a lot of people are intimidated.
You know, on a federal level. Yeah, it's hard. It is intimidating. I feel like it's uncharted territory, like, especially within the government and how the infrastructure is. There are many people that look like us that really hold high positions of power.
Absolutely.
That are outspoken. Because a lot of times, once you reach those ranks, you kind of have to dilute yourself a little bit.
You have to because people don't listen. Because they're like, it's that minority chick. Like, what she has to say doesn't matter. No. Which is a fucking...
God forbid you get a little bit too controversial.
Oh, you know. Well, you know.
It's off with your head.
Basically. But yeah, I feel like we went on a tangent there a little bit. But this is important stuff that we aren't taught. Nobody tells us this stuff. These are the reasons why we are where we are today. These are like the foundations of like our treatment. And let's get started. Do you want to start with yours so I can reference you?
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, hold on. Let me bring up my little cheat sheet so I can give people the facts about. So I'm going to be talking about the Tuskegee study, or it's better known as like the Tuskegee experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bugged out because these were like quote-unquote like clinical studies, right, that they were conducting early, bro, like 1932.
Yeah, and, the 30s.
And it's, you know how long this shit lasted?
How long?
Bro, into 1972.
Whoa.
We're talking about roughly, what was that, like 40 years?
50 years almost?
Nah, 40 years, come on. 40? So we're talking about 40 years of the United States Public Health Service Department conducting a quote-unquote a syphilis experiment on Black minorities.
I'm like, I knew of this. Again, I don't remember if I learned it in school or not, but I didn't realize that for so many years the health system was like purposefully hurting people.
Bro, but to think about, like, so in this case, in this manner, the part that had me fucked up when I was doing the research was that these people were told, right, initially.
Mm-hmm.
My bad, my nose is a little stuffy. I got
coronavirus.
I got allergies. No, stop it. I got allergies. That's why I had to pause real quick. I had to get the good breath in.
That's what they offer.
Like, yo, we're gonna give you guys free healthcare if you guys participate in these experiments. So
healthcare has always been an issue in this country. And still to this day, we're fighting for equal healthcare. So I'm like,
it's fucked up. It's fucked up how they're using like healthcare as an incentive for people to like do these random experiments.
They're like, we're gonna hurt you, but we'll fix you later.
But the thing is, there's so much deception behind it. Like, these people were never really fully told what was happening. They're like, yo, we're just going to run these medical experiments. We're just doing some tests, blah, blah, blah. Yo, but yo, you guys are going to be given, you know, you guys are going to be given free healthcare. We're going to give you guys meals, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're also going to, yo, you know what's fucked up too, right, when I'm looking at it? They gave the people that were also in the experiments free burial insurance for participating in the study.
They're like, we're gonna kill you, but it's not, you know, I'm sorry. You know what this makes me think of?
Dímelo.
You know that SNL skit where The Weeknd's on the couch?
I'm on the couch.
one of the first ones, she's like, why did you get an insurance in my name? Like, insurance in my name, and then he just stared at her and smiled. So. Yeah. The U.S. is literally like, you'll be fine, but just sign these papers and, like, you'll be ready to die if you have to die. And they're like, okay.
That shit's crazy, bro. That shit, like, I can't even, there's so much deception, so much deceit, so much, like, lies, so many lies.
Which is, it's the part that pisses me off, yeah.
And it's like, yo, the type of people that they recruited, because when I was looking at it, it was they went to the Tuskegee I can't even say that word, but the Tuskegee University,
mm-hmm.
And it's located in Alabama. So that university specifically was like a historically black college.
Of course it was.
Let me give you some more background info, right? So when they first started, they enrolled like about 600 heads. A lot of them were like African sharecroppers down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of those 600 people, I think like 399 of them had like, I think they had like a syphilis type of disease.
Mm-hmm.
And about like, I think the other 200 didn't have the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
like, that's a lot of numbers. And then, so we go back to the fact that they're going to a historically black school,
and then everybody that's like all in the
Alabama.
People, Alabama, and a lot of the people that are like taking like part of this experiment are like poor people, you know, they're just impoverished black people, and that's why they have all these incentives. Like, yo, you're gonna get free medical care. We're gonna give you guys meals, and yo, God forbid you die. Which you're not gonna die, because, you know, I mean, we're the government. We're doing this experiment. We know what we're doing. But we're also gonna give you burial insurance, just in case.
Yeah, just in case you die, like, you'll be all set.
You'll be set, though. Like
so when I'm thinking of this era, I don't know if you've ever watched the movie The Help.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's such a good movie. The movie's about a maid who, well, the movie's about, like, a white writer who was raised by her black maid. And so even though the black people had their independence, there were still segregation and that kind of stuff. So she wanted to record what her maid went through and write a book about it. And she's like, why? Mm-hmm. What? We know we treat you like shit, but what's it really like? And then like that book became super famous. And it brought a whole like personal issues and stuff like that. And so I'm thinking about this community where it's the 30s. We have high amounts of like segregation. People were thinking, I'm thinking MLK Jr. I'm thinking Rosa Parks. I'm thinking have separate bathrooms. They have to, like, women are maids raising white children.
You also have to think Alabama, the South.
The South. So I was thinking crops and like working out in the sun, because that's the only type of jobs they're probably trying to like, allowed to get. So it's really hard for this low-income people to get an education. So they don't even know what sicknesses are. Like, they don't, they,
they've never had the access to understand. They just follow orders. What were you saying?
That's just crazy. Nah. I was listening to you.
I'm putting myself in, like, this is the time. This is the time when they don't, even though they have their, they have their rights, socially, they have no rights. And on top of the fact that they have no rights and they don't have, like, even if they wanted to, then they would be criminalized. Because anything, any way they revolt, they're going to put the black person in jail.
No, of course. There's always going to be, like, there's always going to be a way to flip it and give,
you and know, give the, like, it's their fault. So you're taking this people who are kind of fucked and being like, you know, the things that your bosses don't give you, you know, the things that you don't know, we're going to give you health insurance. And, like, if I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but if they have families, would their families have insurance too?
Nah, I didn't dig that deep. I think it would have been insurance for the family, not just for the individual.
Yeah, I think so too, because it makes sense. Like, let's say I'm a man and I have my wife and my kids. I want my kids to have insurance.
Because I
want my kids to be okay. So I'll do the experiment if it keeps my family good. They only targeted
the males and the men being the head of the household. I mean,
so it just makes sense to me, I guess.
Nah, it makes sense.
So it's just, okay.
Let me get back. Yeah, hold on.
Sorry, put yourself in a position where the government's like, well, fuck.
Nah, of course, but not. So damn, I'm trying to think because I remember reading initially the government told them, right, we're only gonna do these experiments for 6 months, mm-hmm. and like we said, they ended up lasting 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. None of the men that took part of this little experiment. None of them were ever told that they had the disease, that they had syphilis, right? And then on top of it, so the doctors already knowing that there's whatever number of men infected. At the time, you had like penicillin that was like known in like as like a treatment for syphilis. None of the doctors ever even tried to treat these people.
That is so sad. I'm like.
And then when they would ask what was happening, they were like, oh, nah, we're just treating you guys to see if you have bad blood.
Okay. I'm like...
Does that shit not sound fucked? Bro, and then all the side effects that come with syphilis, you have, like, anemia, fatigue, and all this other crazy stuff. They were just telling them, yo, it's just bad blood. And at the time, syphilis was actually known as like the leading cause of death within the black community.
Wow.
You feel me?
Wow. So you're basically at the door of death.
But think about what was
and that. And they're like, we know you're gonna die and we're just not gonna do anything about it.
No, but even worse though, think about what that's doing to the community systematically, right? So we're talking about a time where men are the breadwinners, and we're specifically targeting men within these communities, and these men are dying off. Now you're leaving communities without leaders, without men, and now children are growing up without father figures, without people to look up to.
That is so true. That's another huge thing that I think I was going to point out is the fact that all these men are dying, so then you have all these single mothers taking care of their children.
Yeah, of course. That leaves a huge, like there's something missing now in the household. Like you're growing up with children are growing up fatherless, and mothers are definitely struggling to make ends meet.
And especially I think
early 30s.
I think that's a huge thing that it took me a lot of years, even though I'm like really young, I'm 22, but it took me a lot of years to understand that this is what our culture is rooted on. It's the fact that when you think of today's stereotypes, oh, like a black family without a father, well, that's not coming from now. That's coming from almost in 10 years, it'll be 100 years.
Well, that's just fucked up, bro.
If you think about it, in the 30s, it'll be 100 years that it's been almost 100 years where you have this outside circumstances that force people to survive and adapt. And throughout the years, like, you do what you have to do. So if I'm a single mom in the 40s, in the 30s and 40s, my husband died because of the disease that we're not really told what it's about, and then my child grows up without a father, and then their child grows up without a father, and then you have the 80s pandemic with drugs, and it's just like they were groomed to never succeed.
No, basically, like
yeah,
when you think about it, yeah, like it's just bugged out.
Yeah, and so it bothers me when people think about today, like, oh, like they just need to stop selling drugs, or they need to, like, you just don't understand the psycho, like the culture scars of this is all I know what to do. And obviously I'm not justifying it. I'm just like, I'm not justifying people who take bad like life paths, I guess.
No, of course, because if you genuinely want to succeed and do it in a matter that's like, you know, quote unquote just and whatever, you could do it.
But I think that just
know that on this side, it's a lot harder. There's more obstacles you have to jump through. There's more.
And they're all in our head. That's the part that I think they won't ever understand is these are obstacles that this is all I know. I don't know what it's like to be financially literate. I don't know what it's like to have a fulfilled household, because there's always been someone missing on my dinner table. I don't know. So I don't know what I'm missing, and I'm always trying to fix something that I didn't break, if that makes sense.
No, of course, yeah.
So this, you have communities that are trying to succeed from a broken history.
You have people that aren't even cognizant of the fact that they are broken.
No, they're not, because we're not fucking
justice. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm straight. I just got to get this money, blah, blah, blah.
But why do you have to get this money, and why can't you get a job? It's because of this institutionalized, like, racism from, like, almost 100 years ago that we're still battling today. And, like, you have to be aware that these things are established for you to, like, actually battle them, if that makes
sense. Of course. And that's not to say that everybody, like, we know within these industries is racist and et cetera, et cetera. No. But this shit does exist, and you're stupid if you want to pretend like it doesn't exist.
And I'm not even talking about people per se, like racist. Like, oh, I'm not saying your boss is racist or whatever. I'm saying that the path for you to be at the same level as him is far, far fetched, psychologically speaking. Like, when it comes to self-care, when it comes to mental health, when it comes to being a fulfilled cycle, like a fulfilled person psychologically, we're really far off. And so I remember when I took psychology, I know I'm going like in really deep, but I'm so passionate about this. I took psychology 101. So that's as far, I don't have a master's or anything.
Yo, I love taking psych 101. I took it with this short Irishman. Funniest guy ever, bro. Best class I ever took.
I had a really good professor for psych too. So when I took psychology, the core, you have a pyramid of needs basically as an individual, right? And the core needs are like, you need love, you need food, you need water, you need air. We need housing stability, because not having a stable household, especially as a child, has like long-term effects on your brain as an adult. These are proved the core things you need to be a person. That's not crazy.
Yo, no, it's funny though. No,
and so you have these communities who have for hundreds of years been forced to survive through the crazy. Of like, well, we don't care if you're homeless. Well, we don't care if you don't have food. Well, we don't care if your family is dying.
Now, think about what that does to you mentally, like growing up. And like, kind of off track, but there was a study that was done, right? They grabbed, I think it was, I forget how many kids, right? Both groups of kids had they had speech impediments. They had speaking. Mm-hmm. One group was given positive reinforcement, and they were told, yo, you're doing good. You're getting better, blah, blah, blah. And keep going. Wow, your speech is getting better. Your speech is getting better. The other group was told the opposite, and they were given negative reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And the first group, all those kids ended up outgrowing that speech, the speech issue, the speech impediments. The other group had this permanent psychological damage where the speech impediment got worse, and they were never able to, like, grow past that because there was this mental barrier. Yo, yo estoy haciendo un podcast, bro. Y estoy hablando, ¿no? Estoy haciendo algo. Vete pa' allá. Vete pa' allá, loca.
But yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's why it's so important for us to touch these topics. I'm so excited to talk about these topics because, again, I've never been able to just sit down and be like, do you understand just how broken our culture is? Do you understand the fact that all I know is my people being abused over and over, and I have to somehow work every day to educate the people that broke my people, that, like, made decisions that hurt us in, like, a healthcare system way, in an education way. The way that we are taught is broken. As Latinos or as Black people, or whatever minority, even, like, LGBTQ plus, like, community, when you go through the education system, you're never going to be taught your history. Therefore, you're never going to be taught why you don't fit in. And you're always been put the blame of, this is your fault because you're different. Versus, no, it's not your fault that you're different. You're being put in the spot because of decisions that have been made hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
No, of course, of course. And it's bugged out because I feel like going through our educational system, you never really develop a full sense of, like, personal identity. And you can't really connect with who you are as a Hispanic or African-American.
No. So
what you are given,
they make you feel shame.
It's watered down and it's sugar-coated. And it's obviously it's American history, so they're not gonna big up, you know, Taínos and Indians and, you know, innovation within our community. That's why we learn more about, you know, Thomas Edison and these dudes and all these, you know, white inventors and white leaders and revolutionists and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And growing up, you can't connect to that shit. Like, I never
connected. Really can't. No.
I never connected to FDR and George Washington and Thomas Edison and this and that. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but these dudes don't look like me. They don't come from where I'm from. They don't speak the same language.
They don't understand the impact of my color versus my ancestors and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you know what's something else about that is that I grew up in Puerto Rico, I took my Puerto Rico history, which so back in the day, I was like, oh my God, like, this is so lame. Like, we get it. Cristóbal Columbus got here in 1400, whatever. No one cares. And then I moved to the U.S. and I realized, oh, this is why it matters. It's because even though I grew up in a diverse island with different types of people, personalities, and sexualities, I feel like we could, in a way, coexist versus moving to the U.S. There's the psychological pressure that you're put on. Of, like, people expect you to act a certain way. They expect you to act white even sometimes.
No. You have to speak in a certain tone and in a certain manner.
Or you're not taken seriously.
God forbid that you speak in colloquial terms and use your proper, you know, like, how you grew up speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you speak that way, you're obviously lesser than. Like, you have no brain. You have no intellect.
Absolutely. And then, like, if you're intellect and you're not on the same level, then what's your worth even?
Because sorry for being petty. I've had moments where it's like, I have a coworker tell me, oh, the way you're speaking is unprofessional. And it's like, it's like, oh, okay, so me speaking normally is not good enough. Like, I can't speak how I normally speak.
And what's professional to you isn't what's professional to me.
It's different, yeah. Like, yeah. I grew up in a different environment. I grew up talking a certain way, and that to me was proper.
Absolutely. But yeah, I'm gonna stop interrupting you and get back to the story.
Oh, nah, my story's pretty much, it's almost, hold up, damn. Hold up, my bad. So now that's pretty much it. That, as far as my experiments go, that's pretty much it. Like, they kept this 40-year-long experiment going.
Mm-hmm.
And these experiments violated every single ethical standard known, mm-hmm. like, in the health industry.
Mm-hmm.
Knowingly pay all these patients. Hello. Oh.
So then I have a question. Is like, do you have any information about, like, what happened after the experiment?
Hold on.
Did the majority of them just die?
Oh, dude, a large majority of these people died. That's like,
anyone ever held responsible for it? No.
I don't think so. The only reason we know about these experiments is because of this dude named Peter Bruxton, mm-hmm. and he was in 1972. He was like known as the whistleblower, mm-hmm. where he kind of leaks all this government information and all these clinical studies, mm-hmm. into the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and he's letting people know, like, yo, since 1942 penicillin was known to like clear up syphilis, mm-hmm. and these people allowed this research to go up until the 70s. Without telling anybody what they had and without even informing them, like, yo, you know, we have this pill that can help you, right?
That's a lot of years to like keep and quiet. So you can't even be like, you're gonna tell me in 30 years you didn't know penicillin worked? Like,
bro, it's the craziest thing in the fucking world. And they don't have an exact number, but I know a large majority of the southern black population was affected, you know?
Absolutely. Well,
I'm gonna just keep it short because
we went on like a tangent.
But to me, it was like, I'm not really surprised, but I was surprised. I'm like, wow, like we can really, our government will really run quote unquote experiments on us to quote unquote understand things and make them better and completely lie to us, sugarcoat it, and even having maybe a possible solution. In the treatment, and they'll still like deny it to you,
absolutely. And they'll cripple it. Which is why Corona is so scary to me too.
Become crippled and broken.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I am going to start my story because yeah. So my story does reference yours a little bit, and I feel like we might do more of these like failed experiment episodes or something like that because there's just like. Maybe not experiments, but like more of this type of information.
All right, yo, Carla, hold up. Do you want to pause it?
Yeah. Okay. So my topic is called. First, I'm gonna give credit to the source, cause it's PBS.
Shout out to Google.
Shout out to Google. I mean, amen for Google. But I just, like, I find an interesting pattern at the fact that the only organization that does any stories about Puerto Rico is PBS. So, I'm not being petty, but, like...
But you're being petty, but okay.
I'm, like, I want to give credit where credit is due, and PBS seems to be the only organization that actually gives a fuck. So, just saying.
Shout out to my people at PBS. Shout out Papo. Shout out my nigga Kiki.
Hey, I'm not gonna start singing. Anyways, so this was kind of an experiment that was called the Puerto Rico Pill Trials. And so I chose this article on purpose because I wanted to also reference that what was happening to Black communities in Alabama on the 1930s then would be what happening to these women in the 50s in Puerto Rico. And so there's just this place where everyone's just experimenting in minority groups and we're just not going to talk about it. Okay, cool.
Hell the fuck no, boy, you got that wrong.
And like all over the country, like these are like our topics today, but this was happening all over the place. So I just think that's interesting.
It's crazy how they choose to like experiment on communities that are viewed as like lesser than.
Mm-hmm. And no one talks about it. Okay. But says, after the success of the Boston trials for the pill in the 1954, these two men named John Rock and Gregory Pincus were confident that they had the perfect oral contraceptive.
Oh, no.
So, but they needed the FDA approval.
Oh, right? Not the FDA. Let's not even talk about the FDA. The FDA and the CDC are, like, the worst.
I know.
The worst.
So, they wanted the FDA.
Not to the CDC for telling everybody that they didn't need any mask for the coronavirus. And then now they double back in. They backtrack in and telling everybody, oh, wait. Now we were kind of wrong.
It's in the air now, so y'all are gonna die. Cool.
No. So now you guys need masks. But this is only after we've already sold off our supply of masks to China. But let's not talk about that. Fucking CDC losers.
Great. Amazing. Marvelous. So they wanted to have the approval of the FDA, and they wouldn't be able to get this unless the drug was tested on actual public market. Like, they needed evidence that didn't have side effects on people.
Okay, word. All right, but
so
makes sense.
So given the strong legal and cultural religious opposition to birth control in America, because it's the 50s and everyone's a perfect housewife, popping children, I don't know, married.
It's the boomers.
Oh yeah, it's the boomer. It's after World War II. So it's during, almost after World War II. I'm like losing my years in my head. So because everyone was really religious and no one was actually going to approve of birth control, not having a child, gasp. They decided that they found the perfect location on summer of 55 in Puerto Rico. It was the perfect location for human trials. It was one of the most densely populated areas in the world. The officials, like government and like hospitals and stuff like that, had actually supported birth control as a form of population control in the hopes of, I hope y'all don't get hit by like my computer notifications, in the hopes of basically like lowering the endemic of poverty. So there was a lot of there's a lot of large families and there was overpopulation, so there wasn't enough money or jobs for most of the families, and political leaders and like health leaders were aware of it, so they supported the birth control concept.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Like, you have a lot of people who are low income, have no jobs, have a lot of children. There's no way to support them that doesn't cost millions of dollars. So instead, let's educate our people to using birth control. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, cool. That makes sense.
Yeah. And can we also talk about how ahead of their time they are? It's the 50s.
It's back at, yo, the 50s, bro. That's pretty.
It's the 50s. Like, on 20s and 30s, people were having illegal, like, what is it? The 20s and the 30s, people were having illegal abortions. Still. Like, we're in a time where people are still having illegal abortions. And then suddenly in the 50s, Puerto Rico has birth control. I'm like,
that's pretty progressive. Okay.
Whoa. So in Puerto Rico, there is no anti-birth control laws. So legally, the people have no protection. So they're going to fuck them over. Cool. And they were very impressed at the extensive network of birth control clinics throughout the island. There were 67 clinics dispensed through. And you have to think of, like, the size of the island. There's only 78 towns, and in 78 towns in total, there's 67 clinics throughout the island. So over 70% of the island had birth control clinics.
Damn, bro.
Like, that's
a large number. That's really, like, there's a lot of ground to cover there.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm like, especially for the time, this is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And there's a larger group of women who were actively using the services of educating themselves, of trying to educate themselves with birth control. So for Pincus, the island offered a pool of motivated candidates and a stationary population that could easily be monitored
through the trials. Also, if he could demonstrate that poor, uneducated Puerto Rican women could follow the pill regimen, then rich women anywhere could do it too. So,
yeah, I can't see me, but I'm just like shaking my head right now.
I'm like, so if poor, stupid, uneducated women can take the pill, so can you.
Rich so, can you so can you smart, highly intelligent. Wow.
Yeah.
That shit is, keep going. I don't
I'm
even want
to. Like, as a woman, I'm like.
How does that make, not, like, serious question, though, how does that make you feel?
It pisses me off that it's 2020 and like, women are still fighting for, women in the United States are fighting for rights.
They're fighting for basic rights.
Yeah, for basic human rights when it comes to, like, population control and, like, understand, like, this whole situation with religious people, like, I don't care what religion you believe in, my body is my body, and you don't get a say, especially because it's white religious men. You don't get a say on my body. I don't give a fuck what your opinion is.
You know what's crazy, though? Whatever happened to the separation of church and state?
That's a great question.
Like, isn't that one of the fundamental values of the country? But still, somehow, we like to superimpose Christianity onto people and saying, oh, well, you know, abortion is wrong because it's in the Bible.
But well, I also think that a lot of our leaders, which is one of my favorite, is she a senator?
I know who you're talking about.
Senator Ocasio?
Ocasio. I don't know. Is she a senator? I forget. I forget her credentials.
Not yeah, Senator Ocasio Cortez. She's one of the few that she is young and she is a woman of color who is an actual government senator. And it's just weird. So what I was gonna say is, a lot of these people in power are groomers or previous. So they grew up on the concept of church and war and housing stability. So they don't understand the fact that a lot of the people that are now getting educated and that are increasing the population is minority groups who are not minority anymore.
That's a fact.
65% of Latinos are going to college.
Woo! Yo, I wish I had the sound effects for the
tambora. Yeah. So, if I'm like this says, uneducated, poor woman who is trying to educate myself and who is trying to make better decisions and go with my career or choose my career over reproducing at the moment, then you have a man whose beliefs are different from mine and who gets to make decisions that impact me that he doesn't care about. So it's just, please, people, let's vote for the right people. Do your research.
Because a lot of these people hold the belief that, like, a woman is only as strong as her man.
Don't make me punch someone in the face.
This is kind of off topic, but it still kind of goes with, like, women empowerment. Mm-hmm. I was watching this Netflix movie about Madam C.J. Walker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, she ends up starting this hair growth business, whatever. Boom, boom, boom. She starts to make a lot of money. And there's a point in the story where she's making more money than her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband's father looks at him. He's like, wow, I can't believe you're working for your woman. And the way he says it is like, yo, no man should be beneath his woman. The man should be the one, like, you know, taking the lead and leading the household. And it was like so bugged out because I'm like, damn. Like, even within our own communities, I'm pretty sure that same, like, ideology.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of like, you know.
You have to be the man of the house. I just feel like we don't sit down and think that doesn't matter anymore. Whether you're, like, straight, gay, woman, men, you gotta eat. And if you're gonna wait for someone else to get you food, then you have a big problem.
Never going to eat. You're gonna be waiting for a long time.
You're gonna be waiting for a long time. Everyone's out here fending for themselves.
So fuck.
Okay, so let me. Yeah, that was a good tangent. If he could prove that this woman could take it, that anyone else could. So, and he could also successfully quiet critics about the concerns of it being too complicated. So they could just market it better in cities and stuff like that.
Wow.
So Río Piedras. The base for the first trial was in a clinic at Río Piedras. And there was like a nearby new housing project. So they had like the perfect target. They had people who lived in the area, who used the services, blah, blah, blah.
Word.
So just outside of it was the worst slum on the island called El Fanguito, the little mud hole. That's how they translate it.
El Fanguito.
Which had been raised to build clean, white, 7-story buildings, and the new residents were eager to continue to improve their standard of living. So you have people who were used to being in a low quality of life who are currently improving their quality of life, and they're more willing to try things like this. So many American companies were building factories on the island and were giving jobs to local women. So you have women working on the 50s. Can we talk about how ahead of their time they are?
In Puerto Rico, yes. Yes,
we yeah, can. This is like, we're still in the 50s. Like, this is so cool. So the Río Piedras trials quickly got off the ground in 56. And in no time, the trial was filled to capacity. So they had a lot of people trying it. And even though Puerto Rico is predominantly Catholic, people were far more concerned with struggles of the daily life than church dogma. So this is a huge thing that I always found really interesting. And is that to its core, Puerto Rico has always been a highly religious location. From the Spanish colonization, like Catholic religion has been a thing. Like, and the majority, like I think the island to this day is mostly Catholic as well.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. But people don't make their decisions based on religion, which is why I don't understand when I moved to the U.S. why, oh, well, abortion's wrong because the church says it. And I'm like, you can't make your decisions based on religion because that's just not.
You should never do that. That is
like, you shouldn't make decisions that impact others based on religion. I don't care what you believe in. Like, if you're making a decision that's going to impact hundreds of thousands of people,
religion can't be the basis behind that. You feel me?
Yeah, because that's a personal thing. That's not like.
Yeah, exactly. Like religion, it doesn't. Not everybody.
It's one of those things that's like sensitive to talk about, but at the same time, like, if I am relying on you to make decisions that are gonna keep people safe, you can't make it based on what you think. You have to make it based on the facts.
Nah, it has to, like, affect the map. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So...
I'm trying real hard to avoid falling into, like, a fucking tangent again.
I know. And so they did not follow Rome on matters of birth control. At this time, most women relied on sterilization or abortion to limit their family size. And the pill was a welcome alternative. So the pharmaceutical company, GD... provided the pills for trial, and the company's brand named their synthetic oral progesterone to ensure that no pregnancy would occur during the test. Later, after discovering Enovid worked better with small amounts of synthetic estrogen, the active ingredient that was added to the pill as well. So they did find that it was 100% effective. Cool. And Dr. Edris Rice Ray, a faculty member of the Puerto Rico Medical School and medical director of the Puerto Rico Family Planning Association, was in charge of the trials. After a year of tests, he reported good news that it was effective, cool, when taken properly. But he also informed him that 70% of the women in the study complained of nausea, dizziness, headaches, stomach pain, and vomiting. So the reactions and the side effects were like generally, like...
Because they're strong.
Yeah. So, he told them that there was a 10 milligram dose of Enovid, so, like, the chemical. Uh-huh. It caused too many side effects to generally be acceptable. So, he was like, it works. It doesn't cause pregnancy. There's this one little issue. This chemical that you're adding, it causes too many side effects for it to actually be reasonable. Especially because you have to take the pill every day. So you're not going to be nauseous every day. Like,
exactly. Like, that's going to just, that's horrible.
Yeah. So, dismissing the side effects. Rock and Pincus completely ignored the doctor's conclusions.
Of course.
They were like, we don't give a fuck what you say. And so their patients in Boston had experienced far fewer negative reactions, and they believe many of the complaints were psychosomatic. So they were like, these poor women are crazy.
Yeah, those symptoms that you're feeling, you're not really feeling them.
We don't care what you feel, yeah. So problems such as bloating and nausea were minor compared to the contraceptive benefits. So they're like, even though you are having side effects, we just care that it works. So we don't care that you're uncomfortable.
Hey, look, on the plus side, you're not going to be pregnant.
No children. Yeah. And although three women died while participating in the trials, no investigation was conducted to see if the pill had cost the young women's lives.
That is so fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah. So, confident in the safety of the pill, they took no action to assess the root of the side effects. So, they were told that their side effects. They were like, it works, so we don't care. And they just went on with it. I know. So, in years later, Pincus' team would be accused of deceit, colonialism, and the exploitation of poor women of color. The woman had only been told that they were taking the drug that prevented pregnancy. Not that it was a clinical trial, that the pill was experimental, or that there was a chance of potential dangerous side effects.
Whoa.
So they thought that this was an already FDA-approved medication. They didn't know that they were part of an experiment.
No, of course they didn't.
So we can see that there's a certain patterns of my case and your case where they just don't tell them
what they're
getting themselves into. And they're choosing minority groups on purpose so they don't have to deal with the consequences. Because it's stupid people.
Because it's people that don't know better. It's people that are just... Well, yeah, of course. And yeah.
Yeah. So to make the story long and short... they believed that they were following the ethical standards at the time, and it wasn't regulated, so they didn't really care, and only the most basic toxicity tests were required for human trials. So they stand by the fact that they followed the regimen at that time.
Bro,
to this day,
basic though, it was like, you're talking about they're doing the bare minimum. They're not even really trying.
No, they're not. Because why would you care about minority people?
Well, I mean, if a stupid Puerto Rican girl can take it and use it and make it work, then you can too, Margaret.
So to this day, questions linger over whether Pincus and Rock overlooked the serious side effects from the original high dosage.
Of course they did.
In their rush to bring the effective pill to market, the dosage of the pill had since been dramatically lowered, and the incidence of serious side effects had been greatly reduced. Still, the Puerto Rico pill trials remain a controversial episode in the history of the pill's development. And that is the end of my story. It's super interesting that three people died and no one just gave a fuck, so.
How many?
Three. There's probably more, but three that are recorded.
Three that are confirmed. I can only imagine what wasn't confirmed, you know?
Or like long-term side effects of like chemicals. So what they did was they ignored the warnings, but before actually putting the pill to market, they did reduce the side effects to sell it to white women. But they didn't care about what the side effects were for Puerto Rican women. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to me because it's like, yo, So you guys obviously noticed, like, hey, like, yeah, there's an issue. Let's just make sure it's a lot less strong for the people.
For the white women, yep.
Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck?
The people and money, yeah.
Basically.
It's just, oh my God, it's so crazy.
That shit is heart-wrenching, bro. Like, to think about how many of those women ended up possibly having kids, right? With, like, side effects due to these test studies.
Yo, because they didn't know it was a test. They thought that they were taking a legitimate, safe, like...
Like, pill, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, yo, you're getting pumped with synthetic estrogen and all these other synthetic chemicals, and you have no idea how your brain is going to react to it.
Yeah.
How your natural just organism is going to take that.
Especially, like, I'm also thinking of, like, 18-year-olds. If you're 18 and your brain hasn't fully developed and you're...
Oh, no, that's 100%. Like, that's throwing off your chemistry immediately.
Absolutely. So...
That shit, wow.
I know, it's so wild. I'm, like, really glad that we got to talk about these topics and these... cases. Let us know on our social media, guys, if you liked it. Go to our WTF.
What the fuck, Latin and Papi?
Latin Ignis at Instagram and Twitter. Let us know if there's any stories that you want us to cover. I'm so happy we got to cover this one. I actually am excited for the next episode, which we also have prepared. And it's the first time that we actually have an episode, like, in mind before the next one. So, we're getting our shit together, finally. And...
Let's get it. What the fuck, next, baby?
Thank you guys for listening. See you in the next one.
Yo, peace, guys. Take care. Y'all already know. Y'all know the vibes.
Bye.